You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, January 26th, and it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Timothy Lorenz, pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Greenleaf, Kansas. Good morning, Pastor Lorenz.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning and being our guest pastor, helping us study God's Word in Romans chapter 15 today. Tell us about your congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, Greenleaf, Kansas.
Yeah, Bethlehem is, we're a country congregation just outside a big town of 300 people. Can't miss us. We're on a little hill outside of town on the highway. Really excited to be here for celebrating our 100 years of proclaiming God's Word in this area next year. So we've been blessed to minister to our community for that long.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry and proclamation of God's Word in Greenleaf, Kansas, there at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. We are studying Romans chapter 15 today, verses 1 through 13. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text in Romans 15?
Romans 15, Paul continues some of his thoughts from the previous chapters. He starts out talking about our obligation, our owing of love. But as we consider this debt of obligation, we do need to remember that this is still all about Christ Jesus and what he does for us. And so I think it might be beneficial as we read Romans 15 to keep in mind kind of the picture of Christ and the vine, where all of our love and works flow from being in Christ and are really his love through us.
Indeed, indeed. We are in Romans chapter 15 today, studying with Pastor Timothy Lorenz from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Greenleaf, Kansas. If you have a question or a comment along the way, give us a call or an email. The phone number, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. All right, let's take a look at these first few verses. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves.
Yes, the first thing that jumps out as we get into this is we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. The obligation takes us back into Romans 13, where he says, owe no one to anything except love each other. Right here in verse 1, we're basically looking at our obligation is to love. How do we do that? We bear with the failings of the weak. And this is more than just tolerating those who sin against us or who are weaker than us. It's bearing with, carrying those who sin against us, not just tolerating their sins against us, but lifting them up and helping them in their sin, in their lives.
Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.
Yeah, this is... could be troubling, could be a troubling verse, especially as we look at what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2 and Galatians 1, where he says, are we trying to please man? and if we are not careful, we might say, Yes, in this verse, let us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. But actually, Paul is talking about two different things in each of these different books. In Galatians and 1 Thessalonians, he's talking about trying to get in the good graces of man, of our neighbor, of those around us. But here in Romans 15:2, this pleasing of our neighbor really isn't about us trying to get in their good graces, but it's more along the lines of having our eyes on the best interest of our neighbor, on serving him, even if he doesn't like it, even if it's not what he's hoping for.
even if it's not what he's expecting.
Exactly.
Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.
Yes, and here Paul kind of hits the central point of this chunk of verses. You know, Christ did not please himself. Christ did not serve himself. And then he takes us back into the Psalm, Psalm 69. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. I know the NIV 1984 talks about the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. And this is, you know, Christ serving us in the greatest way, where he takes all our burdens, all our transgressions, all our sins, and he deals with them himself. And if we were to look at the context of Psalm 69, it just takes us to the cross. And if I could read part of that right now.
Certainly.
Psalm 69:3, I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? And so we see Christ restoring and paying the debt that we have for ourselves. This is the greatest service, that our serving others flows out of this, Christ serving us.
For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, with Christ Jesus.
Yeah, right there at the beginning of Psalm 69, we're told it's a Psalm of David. And as we get into later verses here in Romans 15, Paul keeps on quoting the Old Testament and bringing these verses before his readers and hearers. And they might be tempted to ask, well, this is all Old Testament stuff. This is, words of David. What does this have to do with us? And Paul answers that question right here. Whatever was written, whatever's from Moses and the prophets, was written for us. It's all about Jesus. Seeing these texts, we would be encouraged in our own struggles, the struggles of bearing one another's burdens. We'd be encouraged to see that bearing one another's burdens involves sacrifice and a cross in our own lives. It's always been that way from Genesis all the way even up to Christ, even to our day today.
That together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. What a prayer Paul has here in verses 5 and 6. Recognition that this doesn't come naturally to us, that we need the Holy Spirit to work this love in our lives, and that as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit, being one body in Christ, bearing one another's burdens, we glorify God with our voices, with our lives, and live together as his people.
I love that phrase, with one voice, or with one accord, with one mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it kind of brings together a picture of the church service on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. where you hear all the voices joined together and singing the great, the hymns of our church. And of course, we're not just talking about the hymns in the church service, but also our common confession as God's people in our lives to those around us.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God.
Oh, yes. This is kind of the conclusion and the results of bearing one another's burdens. And of course, this is something that we all fall down on. We like our groups. We like bearing with those who don't sin against us. And yet, what good is that for us if we are bearing with the weaknesses of those who aren't weak? But Christ welcomed us. We who are sinners, chief of sinners, and so we welcome one another and lift each other up as the body of Christ.
Looking over this first paragraph, these first seven verses, Pastor, is there anything else as you pull it all together that we might have missed as we went through? I know sometimes going through verse by verse, sometimes we miss things that are overarching throughout the whole opening or the whole paragraph.
Right. I would just reemphasize, Christ is, he is the vine, and we pick up a little bit on this picture later in Romans 15. And as he gives his life to us through holy baptism, as we are members of his body, branches on that vine, we bear with one another, we encourage one another as we all struggle with sin, and we forgive each other as we don't always do that perfectly or even well sometimes.
Hmm. We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Timothy Lorenz from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Greenleaf, Kansas. If you have a question or a comment on the text today, give us a call or send us an email. 314-821-0850 or toll free in North America 1-800-730-2727. The email address kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying our text here in Romans chapter 15 with Pastor Lorenz. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
What are the Jagged Word, Virtue in the Wasteland, League of Faithful Masks, and NRP books? They are all projects and partners of 1517 The Legacy Project. The project serves churches and the world by providing a refuge for those broken by the church, supplying theological resources to strengthen congregations, and modeling ways of engaging the culture in a manner that is thoughtful, courageous, and Christ-centered. Check us out at 1517legacy.com. Stand with us.
Did you realize that Jesus continues to pray? On the next Law and Gospel, with the help of Reverend Mark Smith, I, Tom Baker, will be taking a look at the hymn, Son of God, Eternal Savior, where it says very clearly, by your praying, by your willing. We'll look at that.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Timothy Lorenz from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Greenleaf, Kansas. We're in Romans chapter 15 today, verses 1 through 13. Pastor, are we ready to go on to verse 8?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. All right, so back to verse 8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs.
When Paul's talking about the circumcised, again, he's talking about the Jewish people and his congregations. And he's throwing us back to the very first chapter of Romans here. Christ came first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. And we hear Jesus say himself, I came for the lost sheep of Israel, in order that we would be one body. Jesus came as a Jew. He came to proclaim the good news to the children of Abraham, to those who received the promise, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all through the Old Testament. And so the Gentiles of the congregations are reminded, you know, don't despise the Jews. They might have these food restrictions, these ceremonial laws that they grew up in and are still working through in their own lives at this time. But this is to whom Christ came. And on the other hand, coming in at verse 9 there, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. On the other hand, the Jews aren't to shove aside and ignore that Gentile body of the congregation either. Jesus came first for the Jew, but then also for the Gentile. We see this in the Great Commission. Go therefore baptizing and teaching all nations. And so though the Jews and the Gentiles, though the congregation is made up of very different people with very different burdens that each one has to bear, Christ became a servant for all on the cross and died for all on the cross so that not only would we be his body here on earth, but also that we would live together in heaven as one people under him.
As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.
Yeah, and this chunk of verses that we're coming up on is really what is the result of Christ coming for both Jew and Gentile. It results in praise, in love for one another, and this isn't to our glory, but to Christ's glory. I mean, the Gentiles were a people that did not receive the promises of Christ. That went to Abraham and his offspring. And so it's grace that included the Gentiles. And so what can Gentiles do? Sing his praise. Glorify God. He saved us apart from ourselves, our works, our merit, purely out of his goodness and mercy.
And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.
Yeah, and this, just continuing that thought, that the singing of praise is among the Gentiles, but also says with his people, which I take to be, you know, with the other members of the body of Christ, those who receive the promise, the Jews. You are one body. Don't have division amongst yourself, but as one voice through the Holy Spirit, give thanks unto God for the sacrifice that he gave for one, for each one of them, Jews and Gentiles.
And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him.
The sacrifice of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reminded of the bronze serpent in the wilderness as it's raised up for all to see. So Christ was raised up on the cross for all to see. And this is a picture of Judgment Day when people see, when all nations see our crucified Lord and Savior, all peoples will extol him, even the unbelievers. At that point, Judgment Day, every knee will bow, believer and unbeliever. Christ came for the nations, for all. And so all people are given the chance to receive the grace of God in this life.
And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope.
And this is bringing us back to almost an Advent theme. Actually, I think historically, Romans 15 was set aside for the second Sunday in Advent as the reading of the church. And we get that great reading from Isaiah 11, the root of Jesse. Better quote it here. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And then in verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a signal for all peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. And so as we are hitting this Advent theme, you know, this is Jesus coming for all nations. Son of God, begotten, not made, before all worlds. He became incarnate for both Jew and Gentiles, and in him both Jew and Gentiles receive their hope. Jesus is the only way that we can get into heaven. And so with Jesus raised before all the nations, this root of Jesse brings forth great hope that we too may experience that heaven that wasn't promised to us, but is given to us by grace.
And speaking of hope, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
Yeah, why is all this text written? This is the second time that Paul mentions hope here in Romans 15. Yeah, going back to verse 4, where he says, through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might hope. And then in verse 13, it says, may the God of hope. Why do we receive all this stuff? Not so that we may despair in this life, but so that we may look forward to the greatness that God has promised to us, the salvation that he delivers to us, and not that we look at our sins and despair that we are condemned. Yes, our sins do condemn us, but we have the God of hope who sends Christ, the root of Jesse, for both Jew and Gentile, and gives to us through him the hope of salvation, you know, heaven itself with Jesus. And this gives us joy and peace. You know, our sins no longer need to confound us, need to drive us to deep despair and concern. Those sins, all those sins are taken to the cross and put to death there so that with our sins taken care of, we do have peace. And we do receive, when he says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive this hope through the working of the Holy Spirit who grants us faith, who brings us to the knowledge of Christ through his word and through his blessed sacraments as well.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 13?
Yeah, I would say a word of encouragement to all who hear, don't give up. Don't lose hope. your struggles with your own sins, your struggles with helping other people with the sins that they bear, it's going to be difficult. And yet, we are not alone. We have been given Christ, who not only bore our sins in the first place, but gives us comfort and hope as we continue in our lives of love and bearing with one another. And as we have this hope in all situations, in all things, give thanks unto God, praise Him, and rejoice in His love, that even when we fail, even when we absolutely just fall down on the job and don't love and don't sing His praises, He continues to bear with us and continues to love us apart from ourselves, just out of His goodness and mercy.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Timothy Lorenz from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Greenleaf, Kansas. Pastor Lorenz, thanks so much for being our guest pastor, helping us study this text in Romans chapter 15 today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Most certainly. God bless you and all the saints there at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Greenleaf, Kansas. We have more His Time on the way to sanctify your morning. I'm Andy Bates. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.